Welcome back to the PFRPA podcast. I'm your host, Brian DiMarco, and today I am here with Brandon Doman. Brandon, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you hanging out with me today. So getting on the podcast today, one of the ways we kick this off, let's give folks a brief history on you. Tell me about where you grew up, where you played college ball, your time in the league. Tell me your history.
Yeah, appreciate that. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. Grew up at the mouth of the Wasatch Front here in just snow Utah, and it was a great place to live. I went to a high school called Skyline High School and played for a coach by the name of Roger Dupay, who became the all-time winningest coach in at least our state's history. So I was lucky. I was fortunate to be around really good coaches and good people that understood football. And I was a triple option wishbone quarterback in high school, and so I was mainly recruited by the schools that did that, the military schools, Nebraska at the time. This was back in early 90s, and I really, really wanted to go to BYU. It was quarterback university, at least for us, you know, locally. My heroes were Steve Youngs and Jim McMahons and Robbie Boscos and a guy by the name of Ty Detmer, and those guys were all playing at the time as I was growing up. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a quarterback at BYU. They were recruiting me out of high school. I think somewhat wanting me to, you know, they offered me a scholarship to come there. They told me I could play quarterback, but I think in the back of their minds, I know they were expecting me to be a safety on defense, some, you know, or an athlete of some sort, but certainly not recruiting a triple option quarterback to play football at BYU as a quarterback. So that's what I did. I ended up signing at BYU with hopes that they would let me do that. A couple years sitting on the bench and trying to play receiver here and there and other things, I ended up having a chance to play quarterback at BYU in the year 2000. We had a legendary coach at BYU at the time named Lavelle Edwards, who was retiring from, I believe, 28 or 30 seasons as the head football coach there. And this was his last year. And it just happened to be that the stars aligned and opportunities given to me to be the starting quarterback for him as he finished his last couple of games at BYU. And the ball bounced the right way. It just, things happened almost perfectly. And so I lucked out, honestly. I had the opportunity to go into my senior year, which was 2001, with some really good players, and I happened to have a new head football coach by the name of Gary Croton, who was a pass-happy coach, and we threw the ball and did a lot of great things and ended up having almost an undefeated season that year. We lost at the end, and I was drafted in the fifth round by the San Francisco 49ers.
We'll get to follow in the footsteps of some of the legendary BYU quarterbacks,
yeah,
right? Like,
so
Young.
That's exactly right. Steve Young had finished up there at the, I think it was 97, 98. I didn't make it to BYU, to the 49ers till 2002. And so Steve had retired and was gone, but I was a massive Steve Young disciple and follower, and he was gracious enough to be a friend and stay in touch. And so it was pretty cool to walk into that facility and see the Lombardi trophies, and just, that was pretty nostalgic for me.
Well, that's actually a really great segue. You know, as players, and you know, we just missed each other timing wise. I retired in 2000, so, or actually 2001. So we just missed each other. So we always talk about these moments that we have, these really special moments of when we realize, hey, we're here, we're in the NFL now. So what was that first moment of realization for you?
So they brought me in. I was the only guy in the little van when they picked me up for our first mini camp. And I walked in, saw the Lombardi trophies, and then made a left into the locker room. And the very first guy I saw, his back was turned to me. And this was my aha moment. He was in a towel. He just come out of a workout. And I looked at him. I thought, oh, my gosh, that's one unbelievable human being right there. And he's got to be a defensive end, and there's no way that I'm going to be able to get away from that guy. And as I approached my locker, he turned around and greeted me as you know, hey, BYU. And it was T.O., it's Terrell Owens.
Wow.
And I thought, I thought he was a defensive end. And he turned around and.
Right. And that's your receiver.
It was a wide receiver. I thought, okay, no wonder why these guys can make it happen. You know, they got somebody like that running around catching footballs for them. But I hadn't been around an athlete like that at BYU. They just didn't exist. And,
right.
And so that was my realization that you know, welcome to the big leagues, buddy.
Yeah, that's funny. Mine was a little bit different. I had this, you know, it's 1995, the first year of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I remember playing in the Hall of Fame game that year against the Carolina Panthers. Well, here we have these two teams that, you know, you didn't grow up watching these teams, so the logos and all those things, it just was so fresh and so brand new. Didn't feel like the NFL yet. But that second preseason game, we're playing the Dolphins, and I just, in Miami, and I just remember jogging onto the field, and we're going to warm up, and I'm tapping my center who is jogging next to me, Dave Wydell, and I'm like, Dave, that's Dan Marino. Yep. Yep. I just couldn't believe he was over there warming up, and Dan was out there, and I'm like, he's like, yeah, kid, you're in the big leagues now. He goes, let's go. So, yeah, that's awesome. So you played from when, 2002 to 2004 for the Niners?
Yeah, I played three seasons there. Jeff Garcia was the quarterback at the time.
Oh, that's right. Awesome. Yeah, I just got done seeing Jeff in Miami for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was really good to me. My rookie season, I had Steve Mariucci as the head coach. My introduction to the NFL was pretty spectacular. I had some unbelievable people to be around. But yeah, and then things changed quite a bit there at the 49ers while I was there, and we went through a couple really tough years before I, you know, took a different, you know, opportunity of being a football coach in college. But yeah, those 3 years were phenomenal. Just quite a difference between year one to year three and the experience in the organization.
Well, you're giving me all these perfect segues. I appreciate it. So let's talk about your transition. So you end up leaving the Niners and going right into coaching at BYU. Tell us about that.
Yeah, my coach at the time, Gary Croton, had been the coach for 4 years there and was getting let go. He was being, you know, he was getting fired. And I had no desire to be a football coach. It was not in the cards for me. I was wanting to continue to play the game I loved, and I was going to have to probably sign with either the 49ers again my fourth year or maybe the Atlanta Falcons I was considering, and I was going to go off to NFL Europe and get some games in because I hadn't had enough game experience. I'd been standing on the sideline for 3 years, and so that's what was going to happen. And I got a phone call from BYU from the new head football coach there, name's Bronco Mendenhall. He's now the coach at Virginia. But he called and asked if I would be interested in interviewing for the quarterback coaching job. And gosh, you know, I thought for sure if that opportunity ever came up that I would turn and run. But I don't know how to explain other than my heart leapt. You know, it was kind of like, oh man, that sounds phenomenal to me. I don't know at the time why that sounded so great to me. But I said, yeah, come out. So he flew out, and we interviewed for a good few hours. By the time I was done interviewing with him and talking to him, I wanted the job bad. So I basically said, look, I'm not going to let you leave here until you offer me that job. I want this job. And he eventually did. He, before he left San Francisco, he ended up offering me that job. We still had one more game left against the Patriots and Tom Brady, and they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. But my last game was in Foxborough. Against those guys, I was the backup quarterback at that time due to some injuries, and I could have cared less. My mind had turned to BYU and coming back to my alma mater to coach, which I did do for 8 seasons. I came back and coached quarterbacks for 6 years, and then I was the offensive coordinator for 2 years.
What an awesome opportunity in transition, though, getting out of the league in you know, and rare. That's, I think, what a lot of guys are certainly pursuing, to get back into the coaching world or stay involved in football. So what a huge blessing to be able to continue that, especially at your alma mater. It's just unbelievable that you snapped that up that quick and awesome. So let's kind of transition from there. I want to talk a little bit about what you're doing now, because you're doing some really great things in the business world. So you've been out of coaching now for a few years, and you went on to develop a product with your brother. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
You bet. After the eighth season, just like most college football coaches, I got fired. I got let go. And
there's only two types of coaches in the world, right?
You're darn right.
One's that have been fired, one's about to get fired.
That's exactly
right.
How
it goes?
Every coach I had coached with had been fired at some point. So anyways, my turn came, and determining where I was going to go coach, and had some wonderful job offers and some great opportunities. My brother, Bryce, approached me and said, "Brandon, look, if you're any stretch considering not coaching, I need a business partner." He and my dad had been business partners. My dad had, at that time, had retired, and Bryce was anxious to have someone come in and do work with him, and he offered me an opportunity, and it was a great opportunity. I didn't have to move. My family had, at that time, I had several little kids running around the house, and my wife and I determined, you know what, football's been really, really good to us. It's been a great blessing. It's given us a jump start in life. But it's time to move on and do some other things. And so I accepted his offer. It was only a few months after he and I started drafting up what this agreement would look like, and our partnership would look like, take care of dad and how that would work for dad, and that we had an opportunity of that I consider an opportunity of a lifetime. A mechanical engineer that was a friend of ours, his name is Kevin McAllister. He approached my brother and I about investing in an idea that he'd come up with for trailering and towing. For many years, he'd been trying to figure out how to help balance the tow in the trailer tongue itself, meaning the tow ball. There's a specific tongue weight that each trailer tow is supposed to have. I was unfamiliar with that. I had pulled many trailers, but I just didn't have much background in the basics or the measurements in trailers.
Sure. Sure, and we all see that weight limit. You know, when you go up back to the bumper, you're reading the manual. It's got a 10,000-pound tongue weight. So yeah,
that's exactly right. And so the industry, for many years, I came to find out, had been working on finding a solution for that, but they were expensive. There wasn't a real easy solution that anybody could find. And what Kevin did is he took the trailer hitch, the ball mount itself, that you just hook into the receiver with the tow ball. And sure, he built in a little pocket for hydraulic oil. And he put it directly below the tow ball with a little plunger and an O-ring, which is not new to mechanics. It's been used forever. And he put it right below the tow ball and allowed the tow ball to articulate just a little bit up and down, about an eighth of an inch, so it could pressurize the tow ball or the hydraulic oil, and it would measure tongue weight. So you had to have a slot for a gauge, and that gauge would measure basically pound per square inch, and you would know, okay, I know exactly how much tongue weight I have. Every trailer has a gross trailer weight, or a gross vehicle weight rating of whatever, 10,000 pounds.
And we all guess. I see it all the time out here in Texas when, you know, whether people are you know, loading horses or just putting loads on the truck, we all just kind of guess.
That's exactly right. So I realized we have a solution product here. We can take the guesswork away and provide a real, you know, we call it a towing peace of mind. We launched a business, and it took us a year and a half of development and, you know, lots of money spent and time, but it's been just over 5 years now, maybe, oh gosh, well, we're really finishing our fifth full year in business, and it's been an unbelievable blessing. The business has done really well, and we're grateful for that, and we've got some believers in the industry, and we've provided a solution for that problem, and we've continued to now innovate in that space and transitioning from football to, you know, trailers and trucks was a lot easier than going into software and technology.
Right.
So
right.
I'm grateful for that. Cause it
so was, let's tell everybody the name of the product. And once you give us the website as well,
the company name is WeighSafe, like a weighscale, W-E-I-G-H. So WeighSafe is the business, and the website is weigh-safe.com, and you can find anything you need to find there about what we do and what our products are.
It's awesome. I matter of fact, I can't wait to get my hands on one. You know, I know that my father-in-law's a cowboy. He's a real-life cowboy out here in Texas. And, you know, he's working the ranch, and he's always towing stuff. We had a conversation about this product actually a few weeks back, and just knowing and having that peace of mind, that safety. So we've talked about the same problem for all these years. He's been cowboying and ranching. It's always a guess, and, you know, and it's putting your safety on the line. You know, so what a genius product.
Yeah, thank you. You know, Kevin, again, Kevin McAllister is the one to receive the credit, but we collectively put our efforts together, and it really has been a great solution for many, and a simple, inexpensive way to increase the safety for the drivers out there. And so you're right. You know, anybody that's towing should at a minimum go through a couple checklist items before they haul off down the road. One of them is, what's my tongue weight? And the beauty of this is you can hook up your trailer and you don't have to unhook anymore. You can hook up and on the fly know what your tongue weight is. So Brian, we'll make sure you and your father-in-law got a hitch. That's no problem. Love to do that
for you. Yeah, well, certainly, man. I would love it. I'll give you some testimonials, man, some real ones out here from the heart of Texas.
We need as many cowboys as we can, right, with hitches in the back of their truck.
That's about every vehicle on the road out here, right? So looking back on all this, before I go there, one of my favorite things is hearing about these kind of successful transition stories. And as you know, guys struggle. Guys really struggle with that transition and finding purpose in life and something that drives you with that same type of excitement, maybe different, but still gives you that enthusiasm to meet each day. So it's always great to hear successful transition stories like yours. So looking back now on all that you've accomplished in football, it's been amazing, an amazing ride from your playing days in high school to BYU, to playing for the San Francisco 49ers, to coming back as a coach and offensive coordinator at BYU. Looking back on all your football time, what is the one favorite football memory that maybe not too many people know about, but that's just your one memory when you look back on your football playing days or your coaching days? What's your favorite memory?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. It's the conclusion of the 2000 football season. I had only been the starter for two games. It was my second game as the starter. It was the last football game of the season. And it was the final football game of Lavelle Edwards, who in our community was just an absolute icon. It was the last game he was going to coach in. And it was against our rival, the University of Utah. And we had to come from behind the last minute, 30 seconds left in the game. We had to come from behind in a little miraculous 2-minute drive. And we had a couple, like I said, things just, the ball bounced the right way. And a couple plays later, next thing you know, we're winning the football game and we're carrying Lavelle Edwards off the field. And I'll just never forget sitting there. I got a phone call. How crazy is that? I'm standing on the field, we're celebrating, and my brother walks over and he hands me his big, huge, old cell phone. That, you know, it's those archaic cell phones.
Right.
He hands me his cell phone. He says, "Someone wants to talk to you." And I took my helmet off. I put the phone up in my ear, and it was Steve Young. And he said, "Brandon."
Wow.
He says, "Brandon, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I had to get on the phone with you." and congratulate you. Way to go. But I want you to stop and I want you to just pause for a minute and soak it in. Look around. Look through the stadium. Look around at your teammates. Look at Coach Edwards. Just do a 360 all the way around the stadium and just soak it in. He says, because Brandon, these moments are some of the most memorable times of your life, and it moves so fast that you got to soak it up. And then that was it. I hung the phone up, and I did. I just stopped and I looked around, and I could see family and, you know, friends and teammates and people that I loved and cared about, and all the effort and time and energy that goes into to that moment. And then to have it work out like that, you know, it doesn't always work out like that.
Yeah.
And it
certainly.
Just happened to work out. And
what an amazing story, man. First of all, the moment and the 2-minute drive and coming back for your coach like that is unbelievable. And of course, a sideline call from Steve Young to remind you that the little things like this matter. Take that mental picture. Wow, that's awesome. And what a great piece of advice too. It's something I had one of my high school coaches, that Harvey Herman, who stayed with me all my years through playing, I remember him telling me when I finally made it to the league to make sure that you stop and look around and smell the smell, hear the noises, look at the people, and take these mental pictures. But wow, what just an amazing piece of advice, an amazing moment. And I love hearing about those. So Brandon, to wrap this up, man, I appreciate you hanging out with me. This has been an awesome podcast. Great getting to know you and hearing your story. Thanks for hanging out with me today.
Man, Brian, I appreciate you being willing to take some time with me today, too. It's been a pleasure.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.